What the hell?
How'd we get out here?
Oh, man. That must have been one hell of a bender last night.
Ugh. Tell me about it. That's the last time I try one of those Mountain Dew live wire infused cocktails again.
Amen.
Okay, but how did I get out here? I didn't go out with you guys to Bartertown last night.
An excellent question, Jackie.
Whoa, where'd that voice come from?
Yeah, where are you?
That's funny, because that's exactly the question I had for you.
Hello, Mr. Krueger. Is it time to do another Nightmare on Elm Street review?
Is it time to do another Nightmare on Elm Street review, Mr. Krueger? Shut up! You people make me sick. Here I am in the nightmare world, twiddling my thumbs, waiting around like an idiot for you guys to review another one of my films.
Sorry, Mr. Krueger. I guess we just forgot.
No shit, Sherlock! Planning my time until you podcasters finally got around to my third movie, my best one. But when it became clear you weren't coming back to Elm Street, I took a sabbatical to hell to clear my mind. Clear it of the rage I felt towards movie podcasts that bail before they get to the best entry in a movie franchise. One day, as I'm walking by the ironic torture department in hell, I see this big hockey mask freak curled up in a corner, crying. I ask him what his problem is. He points at me, and then at himself. Then he joins his hands together. I say, "What? Were you forgotten by a bunch of third-rate podcasters too?" But that's not even the whole story. Since I wasn't going to mind this whole conversation with this giant lug, I infected his brain. And lo and behold, it turns out this sorry bastard got forgotten by you hacks too! And on a special day, Friday the 13th! Well, I wasn't going to let this one pass. I told him to sharpen up his machete and put on his Sunday best! Because we're going back to the wasteland, and you better believe we're gonna make them remember.
Oh no, we're not gonna have to watch Jason Goes to Hell again, are we?
Quiet, you big-headed freak! No, I've got something even better. Place your bets, bitches, because the fight of the century is about to take place in your video store. Get ready to watch Freddy versus Jason.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Woof! All right, well, Freddy versus Jason. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I have just been to a nu metal concert.
Hell
my
yeah.
My ears are ringing. There's a lot of flashing lights. But there was some cool stuff on screen, too. There were some fun times to be had. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Ryan.
What was the one I was doing? I was at a thing for the whores in this house, bitch.
Let's get vulgar up top.
I was trying to remember what I wanted to do.
I was thinking
keep
of that
it,
one.
Keeping it classy, Ryan.
We're also joined by Jackie.
Freddy was killed by fire. Jason was killed by water. How can we use that?
The best acting in the movie. And finally, we're joined by Michael.
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. You know why they say that, don't you? It's because he's coming for you.
All right, well, we finally made it, guys. Freddy versus Jason. It took a little bit of coercing by our old pal, Mr. Krueger. We're here in the nightmare world again. And I just want to start off the show by saying I apologize to our old pal, Jason Voorhees. We never missed a day until the last one.
And it broke his heart.
We broke his heart. You know what I mean? And that's the real crime here.
It is.
I think we all saw Jason turn into a little baby of a man, and he had the tiny little hockey mask on.
Yeah.
He was crying on the floor.
Yeah, he was being bullied by other kids. It was really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're here. It took a nightmare demon dragging us into the nightmare. Well, I guess he came up here, but it feels like a nightmare.
I mean, it usually takes like a nightmare demon to get us to watch these movies.
Yeah. Was this the first? So I've actually seen this movie several times. I saw it in theaters. What about you guys?
That doesn't shock me, Dave. And no, I've never seen this before.
This is a first time for me.
Hmm. Okay.
I've seen it many times. I have a poster that was hanging in my bedroom when I was a kid.
That's right. Super fan. Okay.
Well, not necessarily. I like the poster.
Super fan of the
that's
poster.
That's where my love for the film ends.
And I liked, and I worked at the theater when this was out. So I think I saw it a lot of times then, too.
And I just based here because you were working there. It wasn't necessarily because you paid for a ticket several times.
Well, I did see it. I wanted to see it. I don't remember if I went and saw it. If I waited to watch it at that theater because it was a discount dollar theater, or if I saw it before that or not, but it was around that time. Or elite, but I would have had to probably buy a ticket for another movie to get into this.
Ryan, you mentioned after the credits, which you know are on a beautiful nu metal song, that you're like, oh yeah, I've heard this multiple times cleaning up a theater.
Yeah, or like you would kind of like, if at that point I was working the projectionist, you would like hear it up in the booth and stuff, and you could like crank it up on the actual projector itself as a speaker on it, so you could just like hear it from there.
And why wouldn't you want to crank that nu metal? It's so good.
It's kind of funny to pull that up.
This is maybe like a guitar joke, but Ryan, you'll get this maybe. Like, I feel like this movie should start out when it does like the New Line logo or whatever with just a guitar being tuned down to drop D.
I bet that hits if you're a guitar head.
I'm wondering if the metal stuff was like an added thing or not. I don't know. I just have theories about that.
I think it was just 2003. So, yeah. Like, what music are you going to put to it?
Like, there's nothing else. And the rest of the score is pretty traditional. Like, Freddy's score, you know, I would say. And
it is funny, like, the way that the nu metal is used in this movie is, like, there are, like, a couple, at least one or two, like, songs, you know, licensed songs or whatever. But it does... And maybe this is just how they're using the songs. I'm no expert or anything, but it's the way it sounds like they're composing like new metal stuff into the soundtrack, like a la Ghosts of Mars, where they're doing like...
Well, at the end, in the third act.
Like, yeah, when they're finally versus.
Yeah, and I love that is really 2003, where it's like, not only is this new metal, like a new metal song or something, but like, we're...
It's bespoke.
Yeah, it's bespoke new metal for this
for
action
Freddy
scene.
For Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah. Aside from, with the exception of that, I feel like this whole movie feels like back to basics in regards to Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. This whole movie, this movie is basically another Nightmare on Elm Street sequel featuring Jason Voorhees.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
This is primarily a Nightmare on Elm Street film, I would say.
And this one, well, maybe we'll get into it, but I feel like it starts really cementing he killed those. We have a clip show, and also, yeah, he definitely killed all those kids and probably molested them too. And here he is licking a picture of a child.
Oh,
so yeah, absolute child predator. Which I've only seen Elm Street 1 and 2 on this show, I feel like it was kind of a like, I don't know, did he? But the parents killed him regardless.
Yeah,
so.
This is weird because like we were talking about this, like because I thought that was always the case that Freddy Krueger was a child molester and that he killed the kids, obviously. But I thought, I guess I didn't realize that was not explicit.
Well, they toned that down in the first movie because there was like a news story at the time where like a bunch of kids were getting molested by teachers.
Oh, well, the Satanic Panic. Yeah, yeah.
And they toned it down. Yeah, and then that's kind of how it stayed for until this movie, I guess.
It was like, I'm a nasty freak.
Like I said, because I remember liking this movie, and then I've watched it twice now within a year, and I feel like very sick because of it, basically, now.
But
I had not seen every Freddy movie, and so I watched them all in last Halloween.
You should have told Freddy. It might have, you know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to be here today.
But like, I think it was always just like an implied. Like, it was never a explicit. Like, he's like molesting these kids, and I feel like this is new. I feel like that's new to this movie.
Yeah.
And or at least like it's implied before, but like, oh, what did he do to him? And then it's just like it adds this extra layer of like, ugh.
He's story. Like, yeah, I'm a rapist.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, like before it was like a fun rapist, and now he's not at all.
He really
he was just
took the
a child
fun out
killer
of it.
Back then. No big deal.
Look, he was just a child killer in a creepy boiler room with a glove with knives on it. With is that sexual? No. And this one was like, no, it was sexual. It was sexual.
Like, he's going to full-on mount the hero at the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I'm going to show up as your dad and kiss you on the mouth.
Daddy! No, Daddy, no! Daddy! It was you!
I've always had a thing for the whores that live in this house.
This movie is pretty gross, right? And like you were saying,
one.
Like I feel gross. Like you were saying, you feel gross after watching it twice, and it could have been sleazier. I've seen sleazier.
I've seen less sleazy.
I've seen less sleazy though. Yeah, you're right.
I feel less than I did last time I watched it. If that's weird, I don't know. It was more fun this time. I don't know. Like. It's something about this one, and we'll get into what I find kind of strange about this, at least leading up with all the other ones. But I think if you, it is very music video, like, this is like the, this, like, we have, there's not a lot of fluff in this movie, even though I feel like it does get into, in the middle, I feel like is a little bit like not a lot going on, even though it is entertaining. It's weird. I don't know. It's like missing some things and also has too much. It's like,
this is kind of like it in a way. It's almost like because it begins with a literal clip show.
Yes.
Freddy is like, people forgot about me. I haven't had a movie in years.
They forgot about all these cool stunts I did.
When I was alive, I might have been a little naughty, but after they killed me, I became something much, much worse. The stuff nightmares are made of. The children still feared me, and their fear gave me the power to invade their dreams. And that's when the fun really began. Until they figured out a way to forget about me. To erase me completely. Being dead wasn't a problem, but being forgotten, now that's a bitch. I can't come back if nobody remembers me! I can't come back if nobody's afraid! I had to search the bowels of hell. But I found someone. Someone who'll make them remember. He may get the blood, but I'll get the glory. And that fear is my ticket home.
Which I think is a fun kind of movie, like kind of self-referential thing, I think.
Yeah, I actually love the clip show-ness. Like, if it is something that they continue doing throughout the whole movie a lot, I would have hated it. But it is, it's just the very beginning, and it almost, to me, feels like table setting or like getting you in the mood. And
yeah, it's like Freddy's back. You haven't seen him in a decade.
It's also it's showing you all the, honestly, it's just showing you the best parts of both these movies. You're just seeing the kills. It almost is like, you don't need to watch the movies. Just watch these like 30-second reel of all the cool kills. Look, you get the idea.
Highlighting a lot of the, you know, practical effects and the like body horror, and you're like, hell yeah, yeah, remember when the blood thing? Yeah.
And honestly, it feels like something that would start to happen in just a couple years after this movie came out in 2003, of just like putting nu metal editing like a bunch of kills from horror movies to nu metal music and putting it on YouTube or something.
I was gonna say this is the precursor to YouTube, you know, top 10 anime deaths and etc. Like
set to Linkin Park.
But I appreciate this, especially, you know, if you're coming into this, you know, like I was, like, again, this whole movie feels like back to basics. We're making a standard Nightmare on Elm Street movie. We're not doing what we did with the last one by making it weird and meta, although I kind of like that movie. But we're going back to basics. We're bringing Jason,
you know,
along.
How long had it been since Jason's been around?
Well, not long at all. 1 year.
Yeah, Jason X, right? Or was it Jason Space. Goes to Hell?
Forgot about Jason X.
The whole reason that movie was made was to keep interest in the series alive until they finally got their shit together and made this crossover film.
Well, and then they made
Street,
a...
However, we hadn't seen Jason in almost a decade. His last movie was 94.
Freddy,
this comes out in 2003, which is kind of the reason why this clip show starts off the movie. No. And I actually like it. I think it's fun because, like you said, it's good table setting. And it also explains... I like that they do all this in the first 5 minutes of the movie. It's pretty striking because for years this movie had been in development since
1987.
87.
I want to watch a documentary.
Cross over for a long time.
I want to watch a documentary, not a documentary series, but just one documentary about this movie, the making of this movie. I feel like there's a lot there. Like there's some weird stuff. Like
there's just a fine layer of cocaine over all of it.
Well, like at one point it was going to start in hell, and like Freddy and Jason, I think it was going to be like a gladiatorial fight type thing.
No.
This script, you know, obviously took a lot from a lot of different scripts. A lot of money hits. I think at one point they say like $6 million had been spent on just script development alone.
Jesus.
They really wanted to make this movie, but
and
it
this
took them
and this was the end product for millions all, of was, dollars versus.
Well, honestly, like story wise, these aren't the greatest stories here. And given, you know, I think I'm fine with the story that this sets out. He's like, I was sent to hell, or you know, and I had and nobody and Freddy's powers are based on people like the fear. People remember him. That's what makes him powerful. That's what makes him come back. But evidently, everyone forgets. Which is, there's a little bit of meta this snare. Like, I haven't had a movie in a decade.
Yeah, I
kind of
almost wish there was a tiny bit more in that kind of stuff.
Well, because it, I feel like it gets to the same Friday the 13th thing that's always just, like, ridiculous of, like, oh, yeah, you never heard of Jason. It's like, yeah, didn't he kill, like, dozens of people like 4 years ago. You forgot about that?
It gets into the thing. It would make more sense if this movie took place like decades later.
The Friday the 13th we've joked about with Friday the 13th stuff before of just like, why is Jason buried in a 300-year-old grave? Like, what year? It's the 80s, but wait, what year? Sorry, if Jason was here, I guess it was the 50s, which this movie kind of does a little bit in that.
Well, this movie suggests it's like the cops, like, they figure it out. Like, we know how to defeat Freddy. Like, we'll make all the kids forget him. We'll take two kids out of the high school who are talking about Freddy.
Yeah, and put them in an institution.
And then I guess everyone just kind of forgets that, because it's like, surely they were talking to other kids, right?
It's I guess that was in the first Elm Street.
Oh, no, there are other kids. I'm sorry. There are other kids in the place. All those kids there presumably are there because they knew about Freddy, I guess.
They all knew about Freddy. No, but wasn't that the case too in the first Elm Street of just like, they discover, you know, who Freddy Krueger is. And it's just like, oh, all those children who were murdered, and it's just like, that wouldn't be forgotten in a town. Yeah. it simply would not be forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, well, it would like have been said, in recent
just,
memory.
This is Nightmare on Elm Street 101. Like, yeah. 5 years have passed. Everyone is forgotten.
People are like, but I mean, that, yeah, that and name, they're like Freddy. Literally
living in the house. Like, what, you don't remember, like, hey, you ever think about how 5 years ago there was a violent murder in our bedroom? Like, 5 years is not that long.
It's all very funny and very silly. But yeah, I guess with the magical no sleep or no dream drug, everyone also just, you know, got Men in Black mind wiped, and it's fine.
Hypnosil is what I believe.
Oh, is that
called.
What it was
Please
called?
Use its proper name.
Sorry.
But by this point, we've had several movies like this, so I'm like, okay, this is just Nightmare on Elm Street's thing. People forget after a very short period of time. Okay, fine.
They're just like, people, yeah, old news.
But I'll tell you what'll make them remember. Like, apparently Freddy has a little bit of juice left. He's got enough juice to resurrect someone back from the dead.
And
send him on a kill crazy rampage, which will make people remember me.
I guess that's after the clip show where and Freddy's narration where he's just like, I've got a plan, and then we go into the Jason dream. Nightmare dreamscape, which immediately has a topless woman with the fakest tits on earth.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's so funny, the idea that Jason, like, while he's dead and dream, he's just dreaming of murdering teens.
Of murdering topless women. And so that's a dream sequence that turns into Mommy Voorhees saying, like, my special boy, come back to life and kill them, my special little Jason. And
you need to go to Elm Street. You're gonna hang a left over here. Yeah. Go 300 miles.
She basically said, you know, because we've always talked about how Jason is like wanting to kill horny people, like horny youth. So that's like his thing.
That's his thing.
And she's basically saying, like,
there's
Jason and Elm Street,
there.
They're having unprotected sex. It's a madhouse, Jason.
You're gonna go from New Jersey to Ohio.
Don't worry about it. But I mean, that's kind of Freddy's whole thing of like, I'm going to impersonate your parent and make it psychosexual. This is a nightmare. Guess what? And then he does. And then Jason comes through and he kills those stupid horny
teens.
Almost
a little too good.
I almost wanted like a scene like Ocean's 11 where Freddy just comes into Crystal Lake. He's got shades on, mm-hmm. and he just kind of looks at him and Jason connect, and then Freddy just sort of does that move from The Sting where he just like wipes his nose, hey buddy, I need you. I'm getting a crew together.
No, I gotta pretend to be your mommy first, and then get you to come kill these teens.
You could have had the great scene when Jason's like, you know, like, he's got like hay or something. He's in a barn. He's like, no, those days are behind me, brother.
I don't know if it's like because of the nature of the production of this, that this was like probably 15 different scripts duct taped together. Mm. But I do like this setup. And while I like that, I think this movie does suffer from getting like really into the weeds with other plot stuff that is like
way too into the
super
weeds.
Like, who cares? Like yeah, like we start to get into like the family, the woman, I think her, oh god, what is her name? Not Gibb.
No, Gib is
Lori.
The fresh.
I think it's Lori.
It's Lori,
Lori's
yeah.
like parents and like the murder.
It was Lori.
Yeah, Lori Campbell. The murder with like her.
It was like,
mom.
Oh, your mom died and your boyfriend said that your dad did it and
yeah,
now
and
he's
the boyfriend
in the asylum
and, the mental, like,
and then...
This is like...
Do they say it, that in the beginning, though? Am I wrong?
No, not in the... not. Okay, that's the problem with this movie
that's
is
revealed later.
A lot yeah. of kind of, no I guess, ex...
And I think what, as a viewer, what I felt is like, is this connected to like old Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street movies that I didn't see or I'm misremembering?
Yeah, it's like, kind of in the same like breath of like, oh, well, we know this thing about like, you know, Jason, oh, and Gibbs, blah, I'm like, who's Gibb?
Yeah,
who's the-
I think it's just the way the story is told and maybe it's like how far into the weeds it gets, but I think it's partly how it's told is I do think it leaves you, especially in the first half or so, kind of feeling like you miss something or like, wait, did I miss something in this movie or did I miss something like in an old movie? Like it just kind of like drops a bunch of unnecessary stuff that like no one's here for this. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't care about this. I just want to see Freddy versus Jason.
It makes me wonder like, yeah, between the 5 million scripts, like what was cut out or like in the editing, like what got left on the cutting room floor and yeah, I don't really care about Lori's dead mom who Freddy killed, I guess. And her dad works for the asylum or something. Like, it's whatever.
Well, it might be different if they focused on, like, the Jason Ritter character. Like, you know, because he's got, like, a story going. You know, he's like, I know what happened. I saw Freddy kill... Or I saw what I thought was his dad, or her dad. And, you know, like, there's something going on there. But with, like, you start with the... I don't
well,
know.
Well, what it is I figured it out. Because they the only reference you have to him before you cut to him in the insane asylum is like, oh, your boyfriend you're friends with when you're 15? You don't think you'll get his name, really? You don't get, like, anything.
Yeah,
and
there's one line about, like, he moved away. And it's like, all right.
You gotta be quiet. Hey, we know you were gonna be here all alone this weekend. So, I mean, Blake's cute. He's not my type. Who is? No one's ever gonna live up to the fuzzy memory of your first love, Lori. You were fucking 14, so get over it.
Yeah, I know we were young, but what Will and I had was real.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Mr. Real just dropkick your ass without so much as a goodbye handshake? He ever even call or maybe even write to you after he moved? Send you an email?
No.
You see my point. It's time to leave the convent, Lori. You need to meet a guy.
And then it's just cut to them in line at the cuckoo's
institution.
Nest,
yeah.
Institution. And it's like, the thing is that there's not even like a connective, like you don't see a picture of her like to like show like, oh, these are connected people.
Well,
like
they're watching the news and he says like, hey, that's my friend Lori's house. I know someone who lives there.
It's still late. It's still like a couple like dialogue scenes before. So it just feels like weird. It's just like a strange, like there's no like even establishing, I feel like, of this asylum. It's a weird thing. It's like a weird back and forth for that first chunk, and then you're explained as it goes along. But
I mean,
it's not done in like a way of like intriguing. It's just like, oh, now they're telling us what.
Probably the impulse is like, let's get like, all right, we're doing Nightmare on Elm Street. Let's start right off with like, you know, suburbia. Let's get some kills in suburbia. I think that's probably their impulse. Like, that's why they want to start there.
There's not really any. It's pretty funny how these, like, if this is horror movie, like there's moments like within scenes to like gather attention, but it just starts right off the bat with this like.
Usually with a Nightmare on Elm Street, you get the nightmare of the kid, and then the kid wakes up, and the kid tells the friends, like, hey, I had this crazy nightmare about this guy, blah, 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 blah. But that one, this we start with Jason's nightmare, I suppose.
Yeah.
And now we're sending Jason to kill these kids, like, eh. And so the kids kind of get short shrift, you know what I mean? It's like, we don't care. I mean, you never care who the kids are in these movies, but in this one, you really don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, there's a stuff like her, you know, they're... What's that kid that's been in it? He's been in stuff. He's like the nerd friend
that nerd guy who gets like a hero's death, and I'm just like,
I know he dies. They linger on him for so long.
I'm supposed to give a shit.
He maybe had two scenes before that, really.
He's been in stuff.
He's probably the character that gets like the longest little like death.
He had the like moment with like the Kelly Rowland character, right?
Where it's like she, yeah. By the way, Kelly Rowland's in this. Yeah, she's like this fucking nerd. And he's just like, Kelly Rowland, you're only saying that because you're self-conscious. And I guess that means that like she has a crush on him.
And then they both are
something.
Like, what if we just like made out though?
They don't even make out.
Yeah, they don't
like, what's the
out.
Point? What's the fucking point?
Kelly Rowland's probably like, I'm not doing that.
He also, like, I don't, you know, I know it's 2003 and we love a nice guy or whatever, but it's like, why shouldn't she fucking tell him to fuck off? All he does up to her friend and be like, can I carry your books, Lori?
He was
like, fuck him.
At this time a little bit. Like, he was in Just Friends, I remember. He's like the, is he like the little brother of Ryan Reynolds or something like that? That's always
something.
He was in Girl Next Door, and
he's got nerd face, you know, yeah. Hollywood nerd face.
We'll just refer to his character as Nerdlinger.
Yeah, Nerdlinger.
Nerdlinger.
There's Laurie, there's Jason Ritter, there's Kelly Rowland, and there's Nerdlinger and Gibb.
I mean, his name in the movie is like Linderman, right? It's like that's pretty close.
That's
to
pretty
Nerdlinger.
Much Nerdlinger. He wears a sweater vest, for God's sake.
Anyway, plot of this movie, Freddy revives Jason. He sends Jason to Ohio or Springwood to kill people, make people start thinking that Freddy's back. Eventually it leads to a climax where they pull Freddy. Well, they go back to the first movie. It's like, wait a minute, we can pull Freddy out of the dream world. We can pull him out. We'll have him fight Jason, and hopefully they'll kill each other, okay? And place your bets, blah, blah, blah.
Whoever wins, we lose.
But really, I think where this movie shines, thankfully, it still has practical effects. I mean, they're bringing in some CG here and there, but for the most part, we get some. I mean, what do you talk about when you talk about these movies? You talk about the death scenes, and it does have some pretty striking death scenes in the first bit where Freddy comes. Or I keep mixing up the names.
Yeah, you're
where
you're
Jason
all over
comes
the place,
and he folds this guy up, this atrocious human being. He folds him up in a bed. It's pretty cool.
Well, first he stabs the shit out of him with the machete, and then he snaps him backwards. And then he
snaps him back, yes. Oh, I forgot. Gibb, the character who we've been talking, we kind of mentioned offhand, she's Ginger from Ginger Snaps.
Oh, she was cute. Yeah. Why was her name Gibb? The whole time we were watching it, we were like,
Gibb's short for Gabriella or something.
Why would that be? Oh, yeah, no, her full name is Gabriella.
Oh, Gabriella, yeah.
It's just like, again, like, what are we doing here? Why is her name Gibb? And she gets murdered by Freddy through
the only kill
a rapist.
Gets in this movie, apparently. He gets one kill.
And it's while some guy at a cornfield rave is about to rape her. Freddy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, right? I'd be pissed too if I were him.
Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah, Jason gets about, he gets
too.
Double digit kills, I think.
He always does. He always does. This is after he killed everyone on that space station. I mean,
I will say, like, I think the impulse is right to make this primarily a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, because Freddy is the only character of the two that can emote, can like say things, can interact with people in a way. Like, Jason is essentially the Hulk. Jason is always, you know, if he if you're going to do a crossover movie, he is the supporting character, because there's only so much you can do with Jason and his story.
I mean, he doesn't even speak.
Yeah,
exactly. It was the right move, to make this primarily a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, because Jason's just a lumbering idiot that kills. Freddy has actual motive. I mean, not to say Jason doesn't have motivation, but Freddy has plans.
Well,
you know,
and
machinations.
Yes, yeah. I think this movie does kind of get to the heart of it when Laurie goes into like Jason's dreamscape, and it's the flashback of, like, him as a disabled child being, like, bullied and drowning and such, where, like, at the end of the day, there's, like, there
does
is
does he even have any, like, disability, or is
he
just
ugly?
He
just has, like, a lumpy head or something. Yeah. I don't know.
The Elephant Man kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that. But, like, at the core of things, this movie sets up that, you know, Freddy, in his heart, is a child killer, child molester, and Jason, in his heart, is a scared child. And so, and one of those is a little more fun than the other one.
Oh, how sweet. You ugly little shit. Now there's a face only a mother could love.
Yeah, so it's crazy that the child molester is the pizzazz here, but like that kind of is what many of the Friday the 13th movies are getting at with Jason, is just like, they shouldn't have let that kid drown. That was fucked up. That was really fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah, there's moments of this movie where you're like rooting for Jason.
But Lori tries to save him, and that's kind of why at the very end he gives her like a pass of like, yeah, okay, I won't murder you.
That scene with Lori trying to save the kid Jason is one of the funniest scenes, where because she's like, it's little Jason is just, it's like a dream sequence. Little Jason is remembering in the 50s when he, the or his origin,
yeah, where at Camp Crystal Lake.
And he's like he's drowning, and Lori is like, no, I'll save you, I'll pull you up. And when Jason grabs onto her, she like looks down at, and there's a beat where she's just like, ew, oh God, you're so ugly. And like lets him go.
Well, I think she sees Freddy also in there because he's trying to grab Jason. But it does kind of feel like that if she's like, oh wait, I didn't know you were ugly.
It's so funny.
Ew, you can die.
I don't hate those kids.
I don't know like how they were trying to play that scene off. Maybe she was meant to be recalling as Freddy, but it read to me as she's just like, oh God, it's ew!
It's also in that scene, because, you know, it is a dream, but she, like, goes to the counselors, and they're, like, actively fucking each other, like, on the porch of a cabin, and she's just like, go help him! And they're like, fuck you, I'm actually Freddy.
Oh, aren't you gonna help the kid?
Can't you see I'm busy here?
You mean you're not coming?
It's not my fault this bitch is dead on her feet.
And it's very silly, but
there's not much to say. I mean, like we said, there's some fun sequences. Like there's some creepy sequences as Ryan said, the cuckoo's nest installation, where like all these kids sit up out of bed and they have like the bandages over their eyes. Like there's some like cool imagery, I think.
There's the secret hidden wing in the institution with a bunch of coma kids who have had too much of the Hypnosil.
Yeah,
Dave, you said this is a movie you've seen like a few times.
Yeah.
What did you see this in theater? Like, what was your history with this? Like, did you see this multiple times in theaters? Like, did you love this movie?
I saw it opening weekend and loved it. This was everything. This was everything I hoped it could be.
You're like, finally, they fought.
So, how did you feel about like? Yeah. What were your like thoughts as were you like a teen when you saw this and it came out?
I would have been, I think 16 watching this.
Wow.
That is the target audience.
So it was everything you ever hoped it would be?
16, 17. Yes, it was. I love that it opened with the clip show. I'm like, oh, it's Freddy's greatest moments. You know what I mean?
You were hooting and hollering.
I was hooting and hollering during the kills. I loved it. I wasn't a big fan of the Alice in Wonderland CG.
Freddy, that was very silly. The caterpillar.
That was kind of dumb, I thought. But aside from that,
it just looks so gross because it has like the creepy Freddy skin and it's that 2003 CGI, and you're like, okay, and with the stoner kid who's Jay and Silent Bob. Definitely legally distinct from
this movie. Has a lot of like, you could tell, I think they wanted to cast someone else, like a certain name. Like, there's a not Brittany Murphy in this. There's a not Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. There's someone else. There's one other person that I'm like, this is like not
Beyonce.
Beyonce.
No, that's not.
No offense to Kelly Rowland. They do give her the homophobic slur to say before Freddy kills her.
You have to have one of those in a 2003 film.
You do.
Oh shit, where I was gonna go. Yeah, it's so funny because I never even pieced together that caterpillar Alice in Wonderland thing. I don't know, for some reason.
Well, he even pulls out the big,
he goes out like a
smoking a hookah. Yeah.
He's got his dream hookah.
Because it was like Weinstein was trying to get Jay and Silent Bob to like meet the monsters, right? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah,
like an Abbott and Costello.
That's some leftovers from that script, probably. I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. There's the chopped and screwed handful of Jay and Silent Bob into this, and then you're like, why do I care about this stoner kid? And I guess now he's part of the main group. Sure.
Like this is kind of, I mean, this is going back a little bit of the genesis of this movie. And also why I think they could have even played into the whole, like, they forgot about me with Freddy kind of stuff. They think I'm a joke. They should go into that because this is post-Scream and post... Scary Movie. And like, the piss has been taken out of all this stuff already, you know? And so, like, that's the type of people watching this thing. Is it now it's, like, almost, like, caught between a world. I think it should even be more goofy or go even gnarlier. It's like a weird thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like making fun of itself kind of, but not quite enough. Like there's like pinball shit and weird things.
Oh, the pinball sound effects. I saw Dave pop for that.
Yeah, all of us stood and saluted for the pinball sound effect.
Yeah! Yeah! Ah! But I like there's just something like yeah it's just like there's like it needs I think it needs like Jason Mewes in it needs like some juice I think a little bit
yeah because it's like, sort there is like a wink to it already but it needs a bigger wink or none at all but it's like if we're doing Freddy then like wink you know he's
and
we're having fun
and he does but like and I want to go wink. A tiny bit more like just a tiny bit like it's like a
yeah
I don't know what it is maybe it's just because at this time maybe when I saw it and I remember thinking it was fine and fun too but like I think people were just not like hooting and hollering about it you know when they came out of this movie.
Well, Dave, I was curious. Like,
people were hooting and hollering in my screen.
I can tell you.
You're absolutely wrong. I think this movie is, I mean, I agree with what you were saying, but that's not the reality of what happened, at least not in my screening. People loved it. I think people were probably probably relieved that they didn't do what you were saying that this movie should have done. Like this, it's like, no, I fucking came here for a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. That's why I love the clip show in the beginning. It's almost like that clip show is saying, don't worry, we're not going to go meta with this. We're going to give you a right down the middle Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th movie. Don't worry, we're not going to get meta with
it. Yeah, don't worry, we're not scary movie.
I'm curious, like,
we're going to, we're, you know, we're going to fan service the shit out of this. We're going to give you everything we think you
but
want.
But it's not a joke.
Dave, how did you react at the time of the with the ending where, like, well, spoilers, no one really wins, right? They both are kind of alive at the end of this. Was that controversial at the time, or were,
maybe
you know?
For some? I, you know, honestly, I didn't mind because that's essentially how every Nightmare on Elm Street movie ends. It ends with, "Oh, Freddy's not really dead." You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, "That's the ending of every Nightmare on Elm Street movie. That's fine."
It's like we beat him, or did we?
Or did we? You know, so, like I was fine with that ending.
He's here to drag the doll that we replaced your mom with back into the house.
Yeah, Jason got an upgrade. But
you know, and now they just they just get to be buddies.
You'd ask me how did I like this movie. I definitely did at the time. I still enjoy it. I didn't care for the Alice in Wonderland bit. I thought that was dumb. I must not be a fan of nu metal because when the nu metal hits when they're in the cabin and the fire, like, it kind of took me out of the movie a little bit.
I think that's like almost like they
that's added value.
No, I think no. I
think it's added value.
I love it. I love the, like, to be clear, I think the nu metal is one of the best things about the movie.
I get what they're going for, but it's just like somehow I'm just like because as we said, up to that point, the music is traditional Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th orchestral music.
This is why I think it is a get these motherfucking stakes on this motherfucking plane thing, you know, like an added.
That's the moment. Yeah, that's what this moment is.
I think it's something that people were like, oh, they need to have. That's gonna happen. That needs, like, people like made like maybe like the Kaza music video things have already happened at this point and stuff, and so like people have made like music videos to nu metal things of like Jason killing people, and they're like, oh, we got to put that in there because you're right, it's not in the rest of the movie, it's only in the end credits and that moment.
I think yeah. maybe
so I, think it's a, I think it's a I think it's a late edition edit to the movie.
Oh, I think maybe you're right there, and I think also maybe more simply like it's the time and place, and you know whoever like on board was like, you know what's hot? Let's get some new metal in here. I fucking love it, dude. The kids are gonna love this. And you know, whether you love it or hate it, it does. Watching it, you know, now, not in 2003, it's a blast from the past.
I want more of it, honestly. Like I'm not even joking. Like I would have liked more.
Well, this is where the movie pivots, and it almost becomes like a Marvel movie. It's two like super-powered beings fighting each other. You know, like.
Can we talk about like something I can't stop thinking about with this movie? Is the part where they're like fighting, it's probably the most Marvel-y superhero thing, where they're on the dock, you know, on Camp Crystal Lake.
Oh yeah.
They're
like cutting each other's limbs off.
Yeah. And there's like basically like it's the last stand for the human characters where they're like setting a big explosion, and you know, they have this like they're getting the gasoline over everything and then light on fire and it blows up. Like I can't stop thinking about the fact that like that explosion that they're all setting up is like not really like it's like adjacent to the fight that's going on. Like they don't the movie lingers on this explosion, and it's not like the bad guys aren't in this explosion.
I know
the bad guys into the water.
Yeah, there's like one clip where the bad guys are kind of like knocked off the pier into the lake from the explosion, but like why did we care about blowing up this like dock or whatever?
I know,
like,
we spent a full minute with like Lori shooting gasoline like onto
the dock.
They're
like setting up this elaborate thing, and it's like they totally biff it. Like they don't get anywhere. you know what I'm talking about.
They just
about.
Wanted to blow shit up. They just she had a lot of feelings.
It's weird. It's
so.
Weird. This script is not the best, I'll say.
No. So how did you react? I think if I recall in the theater, I was just laughing because it became full on farce at this point. Like, you know, Jason, like, or Freddy is like shooting these compressed air canisters at Jason. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And he's saying things like, damn the torpedoes. Like, it's just a full on farce at this point. What was your reaction?
This is great. You know, I feel like I was hooting and hollering at this point. Like the construction site, you know, all the stuff in this movie where Freddy and or Jason are on screen, I think I was having a good time, and the end of this movie was super fun. Like that the fight once they're like, you know, it's the movie Freddy versus Jason. When we get Freddy versus Jason, I think it does deliver. I love that we get that the fight, you know, goes to both of their home turfs, as it will. You know, you get the fight in the dream world where Freddy's in charge, and then you get the fight with Jason where Jason is in charge. And I think it's a really well-paced fight in the way that, like, there's moments where, like, oh, Jason's kicking his ass, or like, oh, Freddy's kicking his ass. Like, they each have moments, and there's back and forth where it feels like an exciting fight to watch. You know, you're kind of like wondering the whole time, like, oh, who's gonna win? Who's got this? Like, they both have moments where they get good punches in and take good punches.
It was I feel like, well, because there's that line at the beginning where Jason's mom is like, you're my special boy who can't be killed, and like I know that's been a thing in the movies before now, but I feel like it's the first time it's said of like, yeah, he's unkillable. Yeah, he can withstand. But
yeah, she just says you can never
die. You can never die. And so by the time we're fully Freddy versus Jason on the dock, and they're like slicing off each other's like arm, like hands and arms and stuff,
using another's severed arm to stab the other.
But I guess it was at that point where I'm just like, yeah, in the other movies, no one can actually get close enough to Jason to land any real hit. But so by the time his arms are coming off, I'm like, so is he gonna like regenerate, or he's gotta sew that shit back on? Or and the movie doesn't care about that. He regenerates. Who cares? But
his fingers get cut off at one point, Jason. And later when he at the end sequence when he has Freddy's head, he's palming it.
Okay. But yeah, so it's like, because does he have to, he's got to go into like hibernation again and like regrow his zombie fingers or some shit. Anyway, I know the movie does not care about the logistics of that, but, you know, it's interesting. It is interesting.
Well, it sounds like, because you guys were, especially you, Mike, you were disappointed last time with Jason Goes to Hell. You did not think it delivered on that premise. It sounds like you think it, whatever your thoughts on the movie as a whole, it sounds like you thought at least it delivered on its premise. Is that fair?
That is fair to say, Dave.
Freddy and Jason did fucking fight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking for the moon here. The movie's called Jason Goes to Hell. I wanted to see Jason going to hell.
Is a fight scene in hell, or a fight scene in Nightmare World and Crystal Lake, and maybe a little new metal thrown in. That's all.
Well, it's. I mean, you could forgive me for being excited about reaching the bare minimum of the title's promise, because this is not only the series that gave us Jason Goes to Hell, in which Jason really doesn't go to hell. This is also the series that gave us Jason Takes Manhattan, which is like one scene of Manhattan, and the rest of it is Jason takes a slow moving freight barge on the Hudson. But this gave us Freddy versus Jason. We got, you know, I don't know, probably like, I'm just guessing, it's probably like a half hour of Freddy versus Jason, maybe 20 minutes of Freddy versus Jason action in this movie.
It kind of plays a little bit like a Godzilla movie where they, you know, there's maybe
it does.
Like there's
Kong versus Zilla.
There's maybe two meetups with the thing he's fighting, you know?
Let them fight.
Exactly.
Well, is there anything else to say on Freddy versus... Again, it's really just a movie. Just like, did it deliver on its premise and like, were the kills fun? Like, and ultimately, I think yes on both.
There's a good quote from Robert Englund, the Freddy Krueger, that I saw. He likes this movie. And this is it's a quote from 2023. So yeah, 20 years after the movie. He said, "I'm really proud of that film. It's fun to see on a nice big flat screen with the sound turned up and some cold pizza."
Hell yeah, dude.
I love that he specifies cold pizza.
Me too.
I was sure you're about to say so well. Beer, but it does, no, pizza's
it really
way better.
Does set the scene for this movie, and that sounds like a great way to watch it.
He's right. That is was funny to me watching it too when they're finally fighting, where it's just like, man, good for these two middle-aged stuntmen. Like,
yes. It is,
you know?
Speaking of Marvel, it is fun to see like a movie where it's like two people are fighting an action scene and they are like middle-aged hulking men instead of like, you know, beautifully chiseled. You know, these are just like some gross dudes. Like going
They've been
at
in
it.
The biz for decades. They're not going anywhere. Put me in a movie. I'll do it.
And there is impressive stunt work. Like when they fly off the dock with that explosion, you see two guys like, into the water. Like it's impressive. And like that last shot, it is like, I think they do go all out. Like at one point, I think Freddy gets his arm severed. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately Jason like takes the severed arm with the Freddy claw and impales Freddy. Like there's
with his, yeah, with
there.
His own claw. That's
his own,
cool.
claw.
Yeah.
He's like a werewolf. He can only be killed by silver.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
they they deliver on the premise. There's a lot. There's buckets of blood. There's some fun moments, like where Jason just like, or not Jason,
Freddy.
Where Freddy like rips a nose out. He does this goofy moment, like, got your nose!
For nose jobs, what kind of anesthesia do the doctors use? They put you all the way under, right?
Which is like, you know, sometimes, which is kind of something the movie doesn't do that a lot of the other Nightmare on Elm Street movies did, where it's like Freddy plays on people's like insecurities or their fears, you know, stuff like that. And he like works that into his nightmare games. He doesn't really do that too much with this one, but anywho.
Anywho.
Still, you know, warts aside, I think it's kind of still a fun movie. It's not great. But it's just, I think it's probably about as good as a Freddy versus Jason movie could be.
That's
I don't know. What
true.
Do you guys think?
Yeah. I don't see it getting much better with this. It's just like, it's just kind of like, it's just pretty damn stupid, I must say.
Well, yeah. Well, yes.
Well, here's a question.
What were you expecting, Ryan?
It's like stupider than usual.
Well, let me ask you this, Ryan, because you were saying they should have gotten goofier with it. There was a proposed sequel for a long time that's never materialized and ultimately was abandoned, but they wanted to do Freddy versus Jason versus Ash from Evil Dead.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense to me because, you know, Ash is a demon killer guy. Like, I could see them working the Deadites and pulling Freddy and Jason in. A lot of people have claimed, oh, is Jason a Deadite from Evil Dead? Blah, 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 blah.
It's what we really want is Bruce Campbell in the mix to just do and quips back and forth with Freddy. That's what we wanted.
They kind of made this with like the, you know, like the Cabin in the Woods, you know, I feel like kind of
took
place of that kind of vibe, you know.
Yeah.
And
the movie, I think the movie kind of, I don't know, maybe it's not goofier. I don't know. There's just something like where I mean, this last time I had a good time with it, but like the time before I was like excited to watch this movie and I was like bored by it. You know,
do you think this is a movie that you do need to watch? Like,
I think so.
With
I was just
people.
Like, I was miserable the last time I watched this movie, and I loved it. I liked it. I remember.
What was the setting? Set the scene of how
just,
you
like,
watched
by myself
it.
Watching it, you know,
no cold pizza.
You didn't have any cold pizza.
Yeah,
cold pizza.
Damn.
And I think like, and then you're right. In the theater, it was a good time. It's really like it doesn't work by itself. It was just a miserable experience. I think
to enjoy this movie, you can't really go into it with much like reverence. Like you got to be willing to hoot and holler. You got to be willing to like, you know, cracking beers left
like,
and
I
right.
Don't think anybody, any of the characters say anything, any like the kids say anything funny or anything. There's like nothing with them. They're like more dead, I think, than like most characters in these movies. I think a lot of these people.
There weren't a lot of like quotes popping out of me, like, you know. And if you recall, my quote that I did say when we started this was just a line that I thought was really stupid, not necessarily like, you know, it's like the moment where they're like, he's piecing together like 1, 2, he's coming for you. Wait. That means he's coming for you.
You definitely got to crack a beer and get stupid watching this movie. Yeah.
This movie. When you rent this movie from our store, Dave, it should come with like a 6-pack.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. And some cold pizza.
Cold pizza.
We should go down
get
that.
Pizza,
yeah,
let it get cold.
The Freddy vs. Jason special. It's leftover pizza from our store and a 6-pack.
Okay, that's how I'll recommend this movie. So, Ryan, what about you? Recommend or no?
I'll be the contrary. I'm saying no. I don't know. Wow. It's one that I rooted for a long time. I think I'm like, oh, that movie's fun, but now I'm like over it. You know, I don't know.
It's like
my new metal phase or something like that. Like it's over. Like there's nothing. I think I'm with you, Dave, on all that too.
Ryan is somberly folding his JNCO jeans and putting this DVD
like an American
into
flag.
A drawer.
This is. With all the love, it's for dumbasses, this movie, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's for absolute fucking morons, you know?
Well, as an absolute fucking moron, I'd recommend it.
Yeah.
I would... I think that this, like you were saying, Dave, for me, this is a movie that needs some, like, performance-enhancing drugs, or not necessarily drugs, but, like, a cold pizza, some friends... if you have like a history with this movie, if you're watching it like late at night and just like wanting to just kind of turn your brain off and like, I do think though, it's a movie that I would not recommend to someone who's never seen one of these movies before. I think like it does help to have some history with it.
Well, that's although, not true. We had a stranger from the wasteland that had never seen one of these movies, never, no context for any of it, and said that was better than I thought it was going to be.
That is true. we had a drifter come in the store and they liked it with zero and you know, to be fair, it does do a decent job in this movie of giving you exposition for like who these characters are. So yeah, I guess I would recommend it to anybody as long as you're like ready if you want to watch something dumb. Yeah.
Stupid poo-poo heads.
Yeah,
this movie was a huge hit. It grossed over $100 million on a budget of $30 million.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it wasn't. I was totally wrong.
No, it was a big hit.
I would recommend solely on the nu metal and being a dumbass. So
skip to the end credits.
You know,
just listen to the soundtrack.
To the tune of "If You Like Pina Coladas," if you like being a dumbass and nu metal, hey.
Well, okay, here's a question. Where do you... So we've only seen two Nightmare on Elm Street movies on this show, but we have seen most of the Friday the 13th movies. Where does this one fall for you on the Jason scale of all the Jason movies we've watched?
I would say it's above... like Jason Goes to Hell and Jason Takes Manhattan. I would say I might have
low bar.
Yeah, because those movies are dog shit. But you know, I was thinking fondly of Jason X the other day, of just how goddamn stupid that one is in some ways that the franchise doesn't usually get to tap into. So. I don't know. I would recommend it still, but
this is around Jason X level for me. I think that's a good pull. Like this might be a little bit above Jason X. Like Jason X is funnier to think about, I think. but the reality of watching the movie, I think Jason X is still fun, but it does get bogged down a bit, I think, in a way that this one is messy. I don't know if it's a good movie, but I can't help but acknowledge I was like entertained the whole way through. I was not bored ever watching this movie.
And that's all you can ask for when you got a cold beer and a cold pizza.
Cold beer and a cold pizza.
And good friends.
Nothing hot touching this mouth.
Well, we cannot forget the next Friday the 13th. We've been warned.
There's more?
There's two more. There's the 2009 remake, and then there's Friday the 13th Part 3, the one where he gets his famous hockey mask.
Is that the 3D one?
Yeah.
Is that why we've never watched it? Because we don't have a 3D setup in the store?
That technology has been lost to time.
It's impossible.
But I don't know, guys. Should we start with 3, or should the next one be 3, or should it be the remake? What do you think?
I think we should do the remake and just keep holding out for 3, that maybe an opportunity presents itself for us to watch it in 3D. You never know. One of the movie places in the waste might show it someday, or, you know.
It seems like a fitting end to end with the one where he finally got his hockey mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Cover up that ugly face.
Yeah. All right, well, when we return to Crystal Lake, we'll be watching the 2009 remake, Friday the 13th. Again.
Again. Like, we didn't have enough problems in 2009.
And you know what? At some point in the future, I just want to give a shout out to our friend, Mr. Krueger, Fred Krueger. We'll get around to watching your third movie, buddy. We'll get there.
It's prime time, bitch. I know.
No way.
I'm sorry, Fred.
Until then, sweet dreams, Wasteland.
Bitch.
Wait a minute. Freddy died by fire, Jason by water. How can we use that?